We want to welcome all to the Tuesday noonday Bible study. Minister Alfred is on leave. He is on assignment. And so we're going to go into chapter 12 of Daniel, and we're not going to cover the whole chapter today. I would like just to really for us to just look at 12:1-4, because this is the segue into the book of Revelation. All that we looked at and discussed in Daniel is culminating in 12 to move into Revelation. So, Deacon Bobby, will you read 1-4 and 12 for us?
And at that time, And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of the people, and there shall be a great time. There shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased.
Okay. Now, that's a whole lot. The supporting scripture verses just in chapter in verse 1, just for example, we can turn to Jeremiah 37. Somebody turn to Jeremiah 37. And as you see, the Old Testament and the New Testament is parallel. I'm going to take you to some scriptures in the Old that address this first verse. Would somebody please read Jeremiah 37? We have Jeremiah 37.
Okay. Okay, you want the first verse?
Just Jeremiah
37.
Chapter 30, verse 7.
Oh, 30, verse 7. I thought you
said 7. Oh, I'm sorry. What did I say?
37.
Well, let me see. Yeah, 30, chapter okay. 30,
verse 7. Okay. Okay, here we are. 30, verse 7 is in Jeremiah. How awful that day will be. None will be like it. It will be a time of trouble for Jacob, but he will be saved out of it.
Okay. Now, here in Jeremiah is talking about the restoration of Israel and Judah, but also is talking about, addressing what we see here, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, somebody now, please turn to, let's see here, Psalms 56:8. And somebody, Romans 11:26. Someone, Mark 13:9. So we're looking for Psalms 56:8.
Mark.
Romans 11:26, Mark 13:19.
19. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So now, bear in mind, we're still supporting verse 1, right?
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Psalms 56, 8.
11.
11?
Yes.
In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. What man can do unto me?
Okay, now. Remember this, we talked about the end times, right?
Right.
So this already tells you, why should you be afraid of what man can do? All right, because this is really rolling into what's really going to happen mm-hmm. in the end time. Okay, all right, who else has Romans 11, 26?
And so shall Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob.
Okay. All right, so the deliverer will come. That's Jesus Christ. He will turn away all the ungodliness from Jacob. And this Jacob here is referred to as Israel. All right. And Israel, what Romans is speaking to here in the New Testament is that the wild olive branch has been grafted in. So this applies to the New Testament church also. But in this particular context, in this chapter, he was addressing primarily Jewish listeners, but there were some Gentile listeners. But this context applies to us too, okay?
Yeah.
All right, so who has...
Mark 13, 19.
Yes, ma'am.
Somebody.
Mark.
Is it 13:19?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead.
But in those days there will be tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the creation which God created until this time, nor ever shall be.
Okay, so we're seeing, you see the supporting that is coming out of the word in Daniel. And remember, Daniel takes us into Revelation. Mm-hmm. All this right here is taking us in. So verse 1, it's just like, it's at that time, Michael shall stand up and the great prince and so forth. But you got to understand where this has taken us and what was spoken as addressing this also. Any your thoughts? Anyone's thoughts?
Well, dealing with Daniel 12:1, I think this one you're speaking of?
Yes, sir.
That's a prelude to the Great Tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you mentioned that already or not, but that's a great prelude into the Great Tribulation and also the Millennium there as well. And you will see where the passage we just read in Mark Gospel there, as well as the one I heard when I was coming through Romans there. You will hear all of this stuff that's going to happen. We are being prepared for the end time. And even Daniel, I think it was number 4, Daniel still doesn't see the whole picture.
That's right.
So you'll see where Michael is telling Daniel, don't worry about it, boy. It's okay. You will get your reward. The book will be closed. So all this stuff here is for our edification. We are aware of what's going to transpire.
Mm-hmm. And just as here in Matthew 24:21, just to support what you just said, for there will be a great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. So you see, we're getting ready to go into the, like Sister Claudette said, long as I'm going up. I wish she was here today, because here it will assure her that if she's concerned about her going up, everyone who is found is written in the book, and that's the book of life.
I think that's a key verse.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think it's a corporate salvation.
No.
And that's taught a lot of times, that the whole nation of Israel is going to be raptured by God. The whole nation of Israel is going to be saved. But Daniel specifically says, everyone who is found written in the book. And the book, Father. Your name in the book? You okay?
I just turned it up.
You all right?
Is your name in the book?
You know, certain things my wife asks, I don't respond to. So I can turn it back down.
I have something that I want to say, address to that, that also addresses the fact that a lot of Christians and the saved and unsaved have the same question. And a lot of people are always seeking salvation, even the ones that have been saved. They say, once saved, always saved. Well, this goes back to the, in this right here, you know, your name is written in the Lamb's book. Well, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, Christ doesn't undo what you've already accepted.
Thank you.
So you have to explain that to people. Yes. And what they're mixing up is not that you're not saved, but there is sin. You do sin. Just because you say don't mean you don't sin.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
But there is repentance.
Amen.
You can repent.
Amen.
And some of the sins you do, there is consequences.
Absolutely.
You know, if you go out here and steal something or rob somebody, you're going to go to jail. The consequences of sin doesn't change. And that death means different things. You might go to jail. Mm-hmm. You might even get killed for going in. Somebody shoot you.
Exactly.
But you are still saved and you can still repent with God. You haven't, God hadn't left you. You just sinned and got out of His will.
Mm-hmm.
But you are always saved. So I hear people coming down to church. I gotta get saved again. I gotta renew. No. You once saved, always saved. You're the one. God hadn't left you. He's always there.
But renewing is to me.
Yes.
Renewing could be valid.
Restoration is.
Yeah, okay.
You want restoration. But these people are talking about, well, I got to get saved again. And that's the question that I have even on my job or whatever. You know, mm-hmm. It's the same question that people are wrestling with mm-hmm. all the time.
And how can you be at peace if
yes.
you don't have no assurance?
They don't.
I mean, you be working and working and
yes.
working and never feel at peace.
That's why it's important to be taught.
Right.
That's why Jesus, in the Great Commission, a lot of people don't emphasize this, but he says, teaching them all that I have told you, teaching them. That's why the teaching ministry is a valid ministry, because you have never been this way. You know, we used to sing that song. You've never been this way before.
Right.
So you need to be taught the way in which you are going so that you can understand. And sometimes people may be valid in getting saved. It's not getting saved again. Let me make sure I say
right.
that.
Right.
But if they are not assured, what needs to happen is they need to have someone who can explain to them that you can fall out of fellowship, but you're not losing your salvation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They need
yeah.
to explain that.
That's true.
And that's a very good observation on your
Thank
part,
you.
Daddy.
Thank you for that.
But let me say this right here too. Over in Ephesians, I wanna say the scripture right here.
Okay.
In Ephesians 1 and 13, this is what it says. Paul is talking to the Ephesians, and he's reminding them. I don't want to read all of this, but I'm going to read 13. It says, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, very key phrase is coming up, you were sealed.
Mm-hmm.
With the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee
mm-hmm.
of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, the praise of His glory.
I think
that's also can complement what you were saying. Holy Spirit seals us. Once we are saved, He seals us until we are totally redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
And don't we need soldiers these days? And if the soldiers are not sure of who they are, how much of a soldier will you be?
That's right. But you'd be so surprised that so many Christians don't even know that fact. I deal with them every day at my job, and they're supposedly Christians, but they don't know because they weren't taught.
Yeah.
And they also need a teacher like we have today to walk them through it.
Mm-hmm. And Betty, I hate to surprise you.
What?
We have people here in the church.
Okay.
This church.
I understand.
This church.
I understand. I understand that.
Right. And you try to explain it to them and you end up in a debate.
I think that, you know, the salvation, from my experience, let me just speak from my experience, I've met people who profess to be saved but are carnal Christians. And they have, and like Elder Beatty said, it has to come from teaching, because a lot of, I have seen revivals, I've seen all kinds of things, and people in the hype, go down to the altar, in the hype, and it was an emotional hype, it was an emotional experience in their goosebumps, and feeling good, but it wasn't a heart. And that's where, and I've seen this in my own family, where members of my family say, I'm saved, but, you know, we're not judges, but we can be censors. We can censor. You censor those who say they're believers, not judging, you censor. Dr. Stanley said, you'll know them by their fruits. But you know, when folks don't change, I mean, you have seen them when they say it before they were saved, and you see them after they say, "Hey, no." You say, you know, I tell them frankly, you know, maybe we need to just sit down and reconsider this, evaluate this salvation that you so believe in, because it is the heart, that brings the love of God, that brings obedience. And allows the Holy Spirit to transform your life. But if they're not taught, and there are local assemblies, quote churches, that they don't teach the heart. They don't teach the heart. If you believe in God and Jesus and so forth, then you're going to heaven, you know, because God is good and He's gracious. And so they out there just running around like running around grazing off of sin and so forth, and talking about, well, God's grace will cover me and His love, and they don't grow. And things happening in their lives because they're not being taught. They're not being taught. And many of the teachings today don't teach about transformation. They don't teach about the Holy Spirit. There are people who are in churches today who don't know the ministry of the Holy Spirit. They know that Jesus is back with the Father, and Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that mean? Oh, I don't know. I mean, you know, and it tells us clearly that we were sealed. So they're not being taught, as we heard Sunday. The Holy Spirit is to some people, that where I grew up, it wasn't the Holy Spirit, it was the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Holy Ghost, you know. And you ask people, if you say that to some people, you spook them out. Talking about, oh, the ghost, we ain't, you know. So you got to soften it a little bit. This is humanity, man's religious humanity, of softening it to the Holy Spirit. You know, so you don't spook them out, you know. Elder Bailey.
I think it's another important factor. People must understand you're getting saved. This means it's your desire to surrender your will to the will of God. That's why Jesus in the garden, He was saying, not my will, but your will be done. Andrew Murray has a book called Absolute Surrender, where we are just totally giving God control of our lives. And the Holy Spirit is in control of our lives. And he's gonna lead you and guide you into all truth. So he's not gonna lead you to do something that violates God's will. That's all I have.
And that's where we, if you, what I'm, you just brought it right home, what I was about being surrendering. See, when we get born again, people don't understand. You said, Lord, come into my heart and take control of my life. Well, I didn't mean all the way now, Lord. I mean, you know, like, hell, let's ride 60-40, you know, so I can help you out a little bit. But growing into that submission, you have to grow into that submission. And the Lord and the Lord God in His wonderful love and gracious will even like gingerly prompt you to see His goodness. You know, it goes slap you upside. But you know, little things like you say, "Oh Lord, you know it's Him. You know it's Him." And so that's how you get to want to know Him more and more and more. But if that desire isn't in the palate of your spirit, there is no desire. And if there's not teaching of growing and knowing the Lord, and we talk about knowing the Lord is our personal, it's like Elder Beatty said, it's not a corporate, it's personal. Yes. We come corporately in worship. Mm-hmm. We come corporately. But where I am with the Lord, you are not. Mm-hmm. We all are just it's like our fingerprints are different. Mm-hmm. You know, He knows us. And He knows where we are, but we share. He says, share one another's burdens so that we can help you along when you're struggling or comfort you. So it's a personal thing. If you can't give a testimony, and I know this is good. Some people want to just shut me down. But I'd say this. If within 6 months of your being saved, you can't give a testimony of a personal experience with the Lord in your life, let's go back and read Romans 10:9. Let's go back and look at 1 John 1:9 and see where you are with it. Because if you don't believe the word, then you'll not believe who God is. He said, because I put my word, what? Before my name.
For my word fail, all heaven and
earth shall pass away. That's right. And it will not return to me what?
Void.
But it will accomplish.
That thing is set out to do.
So this is where we are, saints, is what the Lord is saying to us, is that you have a heart to learn. You have a thirst. And I will give you what you need. Now I want you to go out and do what Jesus said. Feed my sheep. If it's a word of encouragement, it may not be that you will always be the one to bring the true salvation prayer, but an encouragement, planting a seed. If all the believers, just in Decatur alone in Lithonia, everyone that believed this would tell 5 people each day, God loves you.
Yes. Yes.
What would that do? Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
What do you say to people? Because throughout my life, when I've tried talking to people before I've joined Abundant Life, but what do you say to people that say to you, well, God will forgive me? Like I met a young lady one time and I was talking to her. She had 5 kids, no husband. And she said, well, all I have to do is ask God to forgive me and it'll be okay.
Well, see, that's like, let me just give, that's the mindset, you know. You got a mindset that's a program mindset that has settled in her mind. Like, you got a mindset that you know if you work and every 2 weeks, you your mindset, you know your money's in the bank, ATM, you don't even question it. You know, that's there. Because they done told you, and that's a kind of mindset that people put themselves in, which is an excuse, a covering, so that I don't have to really go across that line and really, really give and do. So it's just like right now, you got universal salvation. God loves everybody. Jesus died for everybody. He did die for everybody. Yeah. But for those who believe. See, they leave that part out.
Yeah.
So you got universal salvation. You got people around here clowning, bozoing, and everything else. And saying that, you know, God loves me. And I could do my thing. And then you got the old ones talking about, don't charge it to my heart. Charge it to my head. And all, you know, those are just
clichés.
That's sin.
Yeah.
That's really what is. That is. That's presumptuous sin, knowing that is against God. So you're going to raise your fist and say, well, God, you hear it all the time with transgressions in marriages and in relationships. Well, he made us. He knows our hormones. Yeah, he did. But he said, listen, acknowledge me in all your ways. See,
right.
We don't look at that part of acknowledging the Lord. You know, mm-hmm. It's when I want to get a car or something or a job, then you're going to acknowledge him. But with struggles that you know that are clearly, you're not going to acknowledge him because why? The flesh. We're going to go what is comfortable with us because the flesh wars against the spirit. And we'll rationalize it. We got people today who rationalize sin. And we got to call it for what it is. There was a Catholic priest on a local cable show, and he called what is going on with these children. And then you had the evangelical pastor mm-hmm. next to him. But the Catholic mm-hmm. Priest called it. He said, it's sin.
Right. Mm-hmm. Called it out.
He called it out. Mm-hmm. It's just sin.
Yeah.
But the evangelical talked about, well, you know, if we could just begin to love one another. Well, the Catholic said, well, you can't love it because if you're in sin, you know, so come on. You know, and so it's people who are bold to call it out what it is.
You know, Portia, God dealt with me about what she's saying, that mm-hmm. very thing. Mm-hmm. And he gave me two things that people are getting it mixed up. There's benefits and there's blessings. And that's what mm-hmm. I tell them. Benefits is like the rain. It rains on the just and the unjust mm-hmm. alike. They get the benefits of God.
Right.
The sun
right.
grows
right.
the crops. They get the mm-hmm. food. Everybody can eat. There's certain things in the universe that God put in a place everybody can do.
Mm-hmm.
But to receive the fruits of the Spirit and blessings, the reason blessings is different from benefits, you got to accept Him and be in the family of God
Amen.
To receive your blessings.
Amen.
You don't get blessings outside the family. And blessings are those things that money can't buy. They are the fruits of the Spirit. You don't have peace. You got to go buy a pill to get peace.
Mm.
You know, you got anxiety. You know, you in the family of God, you don't have anxiety. Because he said, this peace I give you, the world can't give it to you and the world can't take it away. That's how I explain it to them. You know, you can't sleep. Well, I can sleep. Why can't I sleep? Because I'm in the family of God. He give me blessings. He give me peace. He give me rest. He said not only rest, but sweet rest.
Mm-hmm.
So when you tell them like that, you know, you got benefits because, hey, God put certain things out in the universe, but he only gave the blessings to the people who are in the family of God. You got favor. You got love. You got long suffering. You got patience. You got joy. I mean, where can you buy that? Not in this world. Can't buy it. It's not for sale. But you can get it, and it's free. All you got to do is accept him, and that's what I tell them.
Sister Portia.
Yes, sir.
The problem that we have is people don't understand sin as being something detestable to God.
Mm.
But then you will have an individual, I'm going to call his name because he's public, he's been doing it publicly, so I can publicly call his name. You got people like Carlton Pearson who's saying, going back to what you said about universal salvation, because you are a member of the human race, God is not going to allow you to go to hell. You can just live. And that causes a challenge for the church, but it's not an impossible challenge, because with God, all things are possible.
Yes.
With man, they're not. But it causes us to realize, and it should cause us to realize, this is a warfare, and you ain't finna go to war with all your ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit provides you with the ammunition, because he cuts through all those little arguments by giving you the word of wisdom. The wisdom from the Holy Spirit, he will kill those arguments, and he will confound those people who think they are wise, but they're being wise in their own understanding. So always consort,
Consult.
Always consult with the Holy Spirit every day, because you're going to probably be challenged concerning your faith every day.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do it in your own understanding. And you can't use, I use this phrase, this is I'm going to tell you the meaning of the phrase. You can't use yesterday's manna for today's situation.
Mm.
In other words, God is going to give you fresh manna for what's going to take place today. Okay?
Portia, I have a testimony too, and it's probably going to be short, but I shared it with Ann, and I think I shared it with a couple more people. In this 12, verse 1, when he said, in 12, between 1 and 4, when he said, in the scriptures you just gave us, he said, we're going to experience tribulation like never before and never will be. Those words are so strong, because as I look, I'm like, this is why we're here studying. We got to go up, like Pastor Luke said, to the next level. We can't fight that at this level. We got to go to a level higher to fight this battle and to stand, because some of us won't be remaining. You can't remain at that lower level. You got to go up. And God just, I dealt with a situation for the last 3 weeks. And if I wasn't at the next level, the enemy would have set me down.
Mm.
It was scary. It was something I'd never gone through before. It was something I'd never witnessed before. It was a demon.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I can truly say that.
Mm-hmm.
Operating.
Mm-hmm.
Destroying, destruction, tearing up everything around him by words and deeds and stuff like that. And, you know, people around didn't know what was going on. I did. I knew, which I had to calm people down. I'm like, don't buy into that. Don't buy into that. You know who you are. You know, but I'm saying this to say this tribulation that we've never seen before, we got to get stronger and stronger to make it.
That's a call that I've been hearing from several ministers,
yes,
and through, including the ones at our pulpit.
Right. We got to get stronger. And if you listen on the world stage, just listen to what they're saying. You know, some people say, oh, we're in, you know, we're prosperous, the economy's good. Mm-mm. There are some economics out saying next year we're going to face a decline. We're going to go into a great depression. And it's going to be like never before. And it's going to start at the end of next year.
Well,
look at this.
Housing, yeah.
Look at this. It's already being predicted right here.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't got to listen to them. God is already telling us we're going to face some stuff that we never faced before. So we got to get ready. We got to get prepared.
But the demon you faced, do you mind clarifying? It was in management or something like that, that you were facing?
I'll share the testimony, because you need to know. I think I've shared the testimony with. I've been dealing with this person. It's a coworker of mine. Mm-hmm. We started together 45 years ago, mm-hmm. and I've been dealing with her. I didn't know that all that was going on in her life. It's really, and I explained it to Ann. It's opiates. You know, like some people say, you know, you think an opiate's black market. No, legal market. Doctors are writing pills for these people.
Not black market.
Xanax, Ambien, alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
And the doctors are writing it out fast as they can get it.
Yeah.
And people are getting addicted to it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's an easy way. You can see 20 or 30 or 40 people get your money, and all you got to do is write out a tear off a piece of paper and give it to them. But they don't care how these people get addicted. So you got a lot of people in this country on opiates.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was one of the ones. And for 13 years, she called me and just talking all crazy and slurred. And a couple of months ago, she told me God wasn't good to her this year. See, that's a demon talking.
Mm.
That's a demon. And she's on these opiates.
Mm-hmm.
And for the last month, she just went out of it. Just went out of her mind. And she was hospitalized twice.
Mm-hmm.
But in the midst of being hospitalized, she's also just carrying lies about one of her best friends who's been there for her. You know, mm-hmm. talking about she's trying to take her money, you know, and spreading this. So the girl is mad and she's calling me all upset. I said, wait a minute. I'm having to calm people down because the enemy is not only trying to take her down. He's trying to take everybody around her. So I had to tell these people. Then you got another Christian friend over here, not at the level that she's supposed to be on, and she's instigating. So you got all this going on. Now the girl is in rehab. She's in rehab now. And the Friday when I came home from work, they called me at noon and say she don't want to go to rehab. So the doctor say if she go back to the situation she in, she's going to die.
Oh.
She said, I don't want to go to rehab. I want to go come home. I said, put her on the phone. And I said, you're already in trouble at work.
Okay.
This is what I told her, because I know I'm speaking to the demon. You're already in trouble at work. If you don't go somewhere and get a piece of sink paper saying you in a rehab, I don't care where you go, but you need to go somewhere.
Okay.
I said, you're going to lose your job and you don't have insurance to pay for where you're going. She got off that phone, I'm going to rehab.
Mm-hmm.
See, but I've learned with people like that, you got to be firm, you got to be forceful, and you got to come in the power and the spirit of God, because you're not talking to a regular person. You are talking to a demonic spirit. And even her pastor came over and he said that she is allowing the enemy to use her. Because she didn't want to see him. She didn't want him to come back. And that's why I say it's been I could really tell you more, but it's frightening. I am not going into all of it.
Okay, don't do that.
But I'm saying, because God has taken me to the next level. All her friends left, most of them left, because they couldn't deal with it. And she asked me why. When she was at herself, she says, that why this person left? I said, yeah, because they were scared. They were frightened. I said, but see, God, you know, he undergirded me. And he gave me the boldness to speak to that demonic spirit.
I just thank God.
Those opioids are something else. They're
taking people out. So we don't have to have a physical warfare like Daniel saw. What we have in now, the warfare is psychological. We have an appeal warfare for your mind. Enemies coming for your mind. Because when he gets your mind, you can't keep it on God. He got you. And that's all you got, you know. you know, Christ said, let this mind be in us that's in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
And I will keep you in perfect peace. Let it stay on me. Look not to the left nor the right, but keep your eyes on me. He said, be like a horse with blinders on. Mm-hmm. And that's what we got to be in the end times. We got to look at him and just can't look at nothing else. Because if you do, that's it. So that's what I had to share.
That's good. Mm-hmm. There's a lot out there to take your mind.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The battle is for your mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Any other comments on that before we... we're not going to be able to get to really look at 3 and 4 really good, but this number, verse 2 and 12, is something that I find many, many believers still struggling with. Well, what happens if your loved ones who were saved die, and
right.
What happens when Jesus comes again?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the question of, well, okay, if we are the new covenant and we are under the blood, under grace, what happened to them folks in the Old Testament?
Yep.
You
right.
know, well, you know, this is where Jehovah's Witness really get it all mixed up. But nevertheless, for us speaking truth, the Abraham and the Moses and all of them, you know, they were counted as righteousness.
Right.
And righteousness was salvation for them. And so the Abraham and his all them descendants, all those people back there, even Rahab, okay,
mm-hmm.
all those, they will as 12 says, and many of those who are asleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and content. Now, that shame and content is where the universal church also declares there's no hell, you know. And of course, you know, the atheists and agnostics don't believe it. There is no hell either. So when people who, there are Christians that I've heard say, oh no, there's no hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, what don't you believe in this?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not quite sure, then you can just roll over to Matthew 13:43 and see what that says. Which is in the New Testament, okay? Now, we read from the Old Covenant, okay, of Daniel and his prophecy of what to come, and you don't want to accept that. Well, okay, so you on the grace and truth. Well, roll over here to Matthew 13:43 and see what that says about those who are asleep and so forth. Let's look at 13:43. Oh, wait a minute, wait. Did I say Matthew 13:43? No, it's, no, I'm sorry, it's Matthew, that's Daniel. No, it's not, I'm sorry. Let's look at Proverbs 11:30, because I got that Matthew in something else. Proverbs. But I do want to get out of the New Testament that speaks and addresses this too.
While you're looking for that, 13:43 does relate to what you were talking about.
Yeah,
in Daniel
it does.
12 and 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
12 and 2 and
mm-hmm.
3.
That was Proverbs what?
11:30.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I say that only because when you look at the saying there in 42, mm-hmm. it said, then shall cast them down into a furnace of fire.
Right.
Whether you want to believe there's hell or whatever, that's your prerogative to do.
Mm-hmm.
And 43, as you mentioned there, then shall the righteous shine forth in what
yes.
And you bring that up about the righteous. And
right.
My young elder over there mentioned about wisdom, and then you talk about the wisdom of the people that has been laid to rest.
Yes.
They will rise. So there's a relationship there.
Yes. That. Thank you for bringing that to point. Thank you so much. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, and then we got in 1 Thessalonians where he talks about, you know, the dead shall rise and so forth. So the point I'm really pointing out is that the old covenant ushers in the new covenant. What we have here was written well before this, but this, the new covenant, just brings it on home. So for those that you find that are Christians who are struggling with that, now you can take them into Scripture and show them, because we got people who don't understand that there are even some people who I'll say, well, if you didn't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the Old Testament people, I don't know about them. Well, what happened to Enoch? Okay, if you so you're holy and sanctified, you know, he wasn't sealed with the Holy Ghost, but right. So it's, you know, I'm saying that I'm hoping that, because when we get into Revelation will bring out, like Minister Alfred said, it will raise some questions about where you are with pre, post, mm-hmm. and so forth. But one of the things you have to study the Bible is in its context,
mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm.
in its context, and not to assimilate what you think to fit into the Bible, into the Word. And with that, I think we're at our end.
Which means we just about to begin.
Yeah. those who shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn away to righteous like the stars forever. Those right there, I tell you, that those four verses to me seem to get everything we read in Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Is summed up right there. It because what we read in Daniel is the fall of religious powers and so forth, and the universal church and the papacy and all that. Mm. But when it comes down to the bottom line, God said all this, but guess what? I'm supreme. Yes, sir.
But listen to this. One of the things that in verse number 4, when Michael told Daniel to shut up, and I played with stuff with my imagination, you know, shut up, boy, you know, just leave it alone. Daniel really didn't understand what was going on.
Mm-mm.
So at that point, Michael told him, I have two glasses of my beard, I can't even see. Michael told him, oh, Daniel, shut up thou words, and seal the book to the time of the end. And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Mm-hmm. Daniel, you're going to get your reward. Don't even try to concern yourself with it. No worry about it, even though you don't understand it. We've been a presupposition now of what's to transpire. It's going to happen, whether these people believe in hell. I hadn't heard the word agnostic in so long. Whether they believe in the word hell or not, it's there. I was at the VA about 2 years ago, and I was I thought I was being nice, but this lady was in a wheelchair. She was a veteran in a wheelchair. One of her legs was severed, and I was pushing because I told her I have a good habit of saying when people in a wheelchair riding slow, I said, you're going to get a speeding ticket. So I pushed her, and we was talking about something. I had just finished reading The Rapture, okay? And she told me she didn't believe in a rapture. And, you know, I put my foot in my mouth sometimes, but God knows I can take it out, okay? Well, I told her, even though the rapture is not, the word is not there in the Bible, but the rising up. When you read, you mentioned Thessalonians
to catch it, and they will be caught up.
And when you look at Revelation between 3 and 4, something happened. Whatever term you want to use, the rapture is real. Ma'am, you don't have to believe it, but it's going to happen. I mean, you can explain it to them, but they may or may not believe it. It's going to happen whether you believe in hell or not. That doesn't mean it's not there. That's your prerogative. You do what you desire. It's okay. But right now, it's going to happen.
Just in closing, I just want to just give you this to hold on to. In the book of Daniel, there are prophecies that occurred then, and then there's prophecies that will occur in the future.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what
the latter part of Daniel is about the future. That's why it says shut up. Okay, because he didn't, you know, how would he know about wheels around wheels and
right.
airplanes and all that? You know, this is the future. Okay, so with that, we will close this session.